Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of this series of tubes and wires that we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe? Joe?
What? Have we started? Oh my gosh, hang on. Jeez, I'm not even ready. Okay, I'm at my computer. I'm ready. Let's go. Hey, Corey, how you doing today?
We've turned into an episode of All in the Family.
I was thinking more Barney Miller, where if I get excited, I'm just going to go run to the bathroom and flush the toilet.
All in the Family, the first TV show in history that had the toilet sound effect.
Hang on, Edith. I'll be back in a minute as he rushes upstairs and kaploosh.
And then they used it constantly on Married with Children for a cheap laugh.
Yeah, I think, didn't Family Guy do a spoof on it?
Let's have sex.
And there's no toilet panic. Sitting next to him, and he just flushed, and the crowd cheers.
Yeah. But we're not that type of show.
No. We're a comic book show.
Yeah, we have other cheap things we go for.
You went to a convention.
And you went home to mommy and daddy.
I drove the Great Mississippi River Road from St. Paul to Dubuque, Iowa. I got on the freeway.
I drove across town.
Oh.
Actually found Butch, too.
Really?
Yeah. He contacted me via email. And I was like, yeah, well, I'm leaving at about 6:30 a.m. to get there early. He wasn't sure if he was going to go, try to get up. But then at the last minute, I checked my email and he responded at 9 at night. I had gone to sleep early because I figured it was going to be a long day anyways. And I was like, I'm glad I checked. So I picked him up. We went over and, are you outside?
No.
Oh, there's a wind noise every time you pause. So maybe... I thought maybe you were caught up in that hurricane down in Florida.
No, I'm on a cheap headset because I am on vacation and forgot my good headset.
Well, that's the whole point of being on vacation, is to forget stuff.
that's why they have Target nearby.
So I done get to the con nice and early, and everybody's standing around because the convention did not send anybody to open, the event center did not have anybody actually open the room. I think they got there about between 7:30, 7:40. Needless to say, Kelly was not amused. But I was able to set up. I forgot what a pain in the butt these shows are. Because, the last couple of shows I've just gone as a fan and a volunteer, Oh, it starts at 10. Okay, I get there at 8. I don't have to wake up at 6. I'm not aiming to get things. I even brought my list with me of stuff I'm missing. And as I wandered about, nobody had the things I was looking for. And let's see, I've got my list here. I'm looking to finish up Marvel Fanfare. I'd like to finish. I actually have... what do they call it? Heroes Reborn, when Image guys
over.
I've got all of Avengers, all of Iron Man. I'm missing Fantastic Four number 13, and I have none of the Captain America. We were talking
now,
about
the issue 13 of all those will never be reprinted.
I know. And then I've got the Heroes Return. I don't have any of the Captain America.
They'll never be reprinted.
Well, either way. But they have
issue 13 of all of those books were a crossover with the Wildstorm books.
Not the 13th. I thought 13 was the where they wound up the storyline and tried to get them all back home.
That was 12. Then they did an issue 13 where the characters all crossed over with Wildstorm characters.
Doesn't matter. Because the whole thing was I picked the Avengers, Fantastic Four, and Iron Man up for a buck as a piece, as we went to those various places that were, selling it for a buck. For some reason, I have not been able to find the Captain America run. I find individual issues cheap, but I don't want to get trapped in the situation where like, oh, okay, I got Captain America 1, 2, 5, and 7, and I can't find the other ones. We'll revisit that theme a little bit later when we get the freaking ink. Oh, actually a little bit more on the geeking. So, what the other ones were like the Peter David Supergirl, Human Fly, you know, just, it was weird because there were people, not as many discounting books like as previously, but there were people loaded for bear. All the keys were there. There was a lot of things. I actually ended up buying a key. I might as well get to this right away because I did not buy a lot of stuff. Usually I go to these cons and, you know, when I break away to get gas, I mean, I get away from the table, I'll spend a ton of money just picking up stuff. But I looked a lot of things. You know, I went over to Tim's table. I looked at the signed books. I went to Mark Murdo, Greg Hammer, and I kind of poked around. The big purchase I got from Tom Nigan, I got the Supergirl I commissioned from the last show. It's beautiful. It is just a gorgeous piece of art. And let's see if I can find it. Well, I can't show you, obviously, but he was also there because he had a upcoming graphic novel that he's going to do with a filmmaker, James Curry, called Welcome to Hate Stings. And I'm not sure how they're going to call it. It says Hastings on it, and you cross out the H-A and put the word hate. That's a picture of a church burning, and I actually got a print for my daughter. She was very thrilled. They had a preview comic in it where they have the first couple of pages set up, and it's kind of a historical-type documentary where it takes place, I would say, probably around Civil War. And it's coming. It says coming fall 2022, although I don't think they're anywhere near it. But they had the, or I should say, it hasn't been solicited yet. And of course, when it does, you know, we'll probably point it out. I talked to James a bit about filmmaking, and he's done a little bit of everything. He's been behind the camera. He's a producer. He's directing and an actor. Tom was busy, you know, talking art stuff. If you got the sketchbook from him, or I should say the ash can, which was free, he did a really beautiful Spider-Man on the back of it. I mean, it's just amazing. And this was all free. And then I had James and him autograph it. I'll be reviewing this probably sometime in the future, which is, especially when it finally does get solicited, we'll mention it. From my old pal Gruba, because he brought a couple boxes of hardcovers to sell. I picked up the original graphic novel, Avengers Rage of Ultron.
I like that one.
Rick Remender, Jerome Opina. I don't recall buying this ever. So I'm looking forward to reading it. I got it's called Kinetics. They're like little tiny Lego guys of the Beatles Yellow Submarine, John Paul, George, and Ringo, with band instruments. Just kind of a cute little Beatles thing. And then I picked up from Granite City the Savage She-Hulk number one. Just throw it in the investor box, you know. It'll make its surface sometime in the future when I go to resell it. But I've been aiming to get one, and I've seen them all over the price point. Tim and them had it for a pretty decent price. The convention was fairly well attended. The charity booth did very well, about on par what we normally do. Several people were asking, where's Corey? And this time I could just say, well, he went home to visit mommy and daddy. They're still like, well, why doesn't he come to cons? He said, he's not really a con guy anymore. A couple guys asked if you would be around for a poker game. So I'll talk to you off camera. I'll give you the details. Ooh. So if you're game to go. But I was just looking. I tried to list all the things I sold because part of the charity booth I sold, I put in a lot of things that I had. And some of them, I'm trying to read my scribble. A lot of it was the $5 books, you know, where I was variant covers and, you know, books around $5. I have $5 a piece, 3 for $10. Sold a couple detective 100 pagers. The aforementioned Patsy Walker, Millie the Model, I brought that, sold those right away. It's one of those things where, like, I got it, I read it, and I'm like, eh, I'm such a wishy-washy guy. I did sell my Fantastic Four slipcase, the full circle, and then I went and bought at the source a regular one, because I was like, I was going to keep it, but it's like, that, the price on that thing has gone silly. And I'm like, I'm all about silly, you know, because then I'm like, okay, I sold that. Then I have $100 more in my pocket to spend on other things. I had a few Walmart packs that I never opened, you know, because they always had that exclusive comic in there. I ended up just selling those out. A couple Swing with Scooters. I did sell the two Lady Death mystery envelopes I had.
Ooh, you never did them. Open them, did you?
I did not, but the guys who had them did.
And?
The black one was a artist proof of Michael Turner. Gorgeous cover. And coffin, when they do an artist proof, there's only two ever made.
Wow.
None on the eBays. The only other artist proofs I've seen tend to go anywhere from 100 to 200 bucks. And this guy who bought it was a massive Michael Turner fan, so he was thrilled beyond belief. The other one was a limited 1 in 10 variant cover. Still very pretty. And I still think the Michael Turner one was really cool. So, again, I cowered it out, but I ended up selling them for charity. That's not stopping me, though, because every time Coffin Comics has a Kickstarter, I always pick up a couple of them just because. But anyways, who knows? And then, of course, you're thinking, man, that Michael Turner was nice, but I had my chance. I did have a Conan photo cover that had Arnold the Schwarzenegger on it. That was the one I was bemoaning, I think, was it last podcast where I should have gone and got the autographed one instead of just going for the photo cover.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what other fun stuff here. And now I'm getting into where Pat must have been watching the booth while we wandered around, because Gruber was there, which was nice, and he would hang. And again, I didn't do a lot of wandering. Usually would just run to the bathroom and come back and walk the circuit. Spider-Man Anisha Siskesh. Almost some type of Spider-Man sketch cover for $40. Do you remember a book called Strange Caddish?
Vaguely.
Yeah, it was basically a book of Jewish stories by Neil Gaiman and Harlan Ellison, and it goes for silly, silly money on eBay. I actually sold it to a young Jewish couple at a fairly decent discount because they expressed interest in it, but not at the price I had it. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm looking to sell this stuff. The best thing that I sold, and our good buddy Eric down at Mind's Eye, he bought for me the Sesame Street number one, the Source variant cover. I picked this up years ago, and he collects Sesame Street, and he'd never seen it, so he picked it up, and I was selling it at a decent price, only 10 bucks. He took it, walked over to the guys at the Source, and had them autograph it. And anybody who was working at the Source, I think he had them autograph it as well. And I told him that was freaking brilliant. I wish I'd have thought something of that. You know, to have the store. I mean, here you got a retailer buying it from an ex-retailer to go to the retailer who published the comic and have their employees autograph it. And he's like, that's going to go up in the news store. And I said, that's just brilliant. I mean, that kind of tells you way different attitude retailers have of each other now than it was like when we were growing up. When we were growing up, it was kind of like retailers hated each other.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're like,
I still remember constant accusations of spying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, spying. How the hell are you spying a public store? Ugh. Let's see, for Gruber.
This guy. You shouldn't hire him, Joe. He's a spy.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
Kid, whatever.
A spy. Sold a couple of things for Kelly, for Pat. Eric from the con brought a bunch of neat toys, and people were looking at them. Nobody bought. But so it was a lot of fun. Like I said, the weird thing about it was that nobody, there weren't a lot of discounted books. The retailers I talked to seemed to be doing pretty good. If I did talk to a few about how they felt about the Dark Horse situation. And most of them, it was probably a non-issue because they're all set up with Penguin anyways. The free shipping is what does it. You know, they're kind of like, yeah, that's a game changer. Diamond Comics doesn't realize that. They're going to be losing out, who knows. And that'll make our previous episode a relic of the past, won't it, if Diamond comes under? A lot of people are worried about how long Diamond will last, especially if they keep squeezing the retailers. As you and I already know, there aren't a lot of retailers that carry the independents. Certainly not like they have in the past. I mean, Source does. I've seen them at Hot Comic, Comic College. But boy, half the books I recommend when we do our preview shows do not show up in comic stores, which is probably why I spend an inordinate amount of time in previews pointing these out, because you got like your one chance to order it and you'll probably never get it again. So not a bad show. Does not look like there will probably be a big, big show anymore. I talked with Kelly a little bit about that, and the search goes on, but it's just tough to do. There will probably be another show probably in the spring. I don't think he's looking to do them as often, which I wonder about, because one of the shows that I'm looking forward to, if I can call it up here, you know, I always do the Toy Peddler show. And their next show, they got the Halloween one coming up, if I can find it here. You think I have all this stuff ready at my fingertips. Then the phone time's out. Here it is. So their next show is October 30th, and they're moving back to the Bloomington Events Center on American Boulevard. That's where they go during the wintertime. And they seem to do it, you know, just 75 tables of toys and collectibles. If I had weekends off, I'd bring comics there. Pretty well. Matter of fact, the only shows that don't do really well are Nice Spring Day, which is usually a killer for anything. I was kind of like, yeah, we did good, raised a little money. Kind of like, I didn't really buy a lot. So, naturally, I've been going geeking today. Yesterday, I went over to 7th Street Level Up Games, and they're filling out really well. They had a bunch of toys there. They're planning events for Magic the Gathering. I picked up out of their dollar bins some Supergirl, the Peter David ones, filled some later gaps. They had a really cool run of Superman Adventures, which is, I guess, tied into the animated show version of Superman. And I just bought them to read because they're fun, non-continuity. In the case of, oh, I'm probably going to regret buying that, they had 7 of the 8 issues of a crossover called Rain in Hell. Apparently this was a DC crossover where all mystics must pick sides in an unholy war.
And yeah, Joe, let's go back to Superman Adventures.
Okay.
Take a look at who wrote the first batch of issues.
Well, I'm in the 40s, so I don't even know who wrote the early ones.
The early ones were all written by Scott McCloud.
Ooh. See, I see Evan Dorkin in some of these and some names I don't recognize.
Yeah, but I know at least the first year were written by Scott McCloud.
Yeah. No, they're all, what I love about them, like I did with Batman Adventures, is they're not tied into years of continuity. They're serious, but they're not super serious. They do the nice, clean cartoon style. So they're kind of fun. Lest you think that was the only place I went, I did stop down to see our good man, Steve Brown, man of renown, down at Cedar Cliff Collectibles. Yes, he still had a frown. And I wasn't really looking for, he had some neat things down there. Again, he bought like an entire run of Fantastic Four. He did have the first Rocket Raccoon in the Marvel premiere at Santana.
Yes.
In it. And I was tempted on that one. Still has a Hulk 181. And a couple other ones where, do you remember DC's The Parent Trap? It was not DC, Disney.
I was going to say, I remember a Disney movie, but not a DC version of it.
Yeah, I'm thinking the 1961 film.
Dell probably did an adaptation of it, right?
Oh, they did. And of course, I think Haley Mills was the young girl.
Yes.
Made the twins. Oh, And did I have a heartthrob for both of them? And Steve wrote that on the book. You know, this was every young lad's dream. So I didn't buy it. It was a pretty nice cheap book. I did buy some cheapy books. He had some Whitman books like Bugs Bunny, Winnie the Pooh, that were rare because they were only available in a 3-pack. Let's see, some cheap issues. Lone Ranger 17, Direct Son of Stone 73, Partridge Family number, sticker's covering up, and a photo cover David Cassidy. For some reason, I've been picking these up. I have more in these collection than I would care to admit, which is funny because I don't even like Partridge Family. I mean, I liked the animated beginning, and I think the bus was cool. I got a little Johnny Lightning of it. And that was, again, my wanderlust is still there because I stopped by a local Half Price and I picked up 3 books that I'd never seen before. One of them was a DC holiday special from March 1985 called Funny Stuff Stocking Stuffer. Had Dodo the Frog, Nutsy Squirrel, and the Raccoon Kids. Jim Engle did a humorous cover. A book I'm vaguely aware of, but I've never read, from the Starline, Meet Misty. Out of the pages of Star Comic and into the hearts of America.
Oh, yeah.
Misty's Fashion was by Barb Rausch from West Hollywood, California. So, six-issue series.
Comic creator.
Yeah. I seen incomplete runs on the eBays. I just figured I'd pick this one up, see what it's about. A couple Golden Age books. Might be late Silver Age, but they got 10 cents out of one of them. It was Hot Rod and Racing Cars.
Carlton.
CDC, yep. And the other one from Standard Comics, Cuckoo the Bird Brain. And this one had to have been a Schindler's Reject because it's got that stupid yellow sticker on it. Or that red sticker that they put things on it. And again, for the price, all these books were just cheap reading. I'm not done yet. It's new comic book day. I'll probably go to the college and the source. Even our buddy up in Remix, up in Forest Lake, said, I got put out 9 long boxes of new comics, which means I'm busy here talking to you folks on YouTube. I could be up at Remix picking up books.
I have a feeling you'll go as soon as we're done.
It's possible. Yeah, if I can't get a hold of Turbo, but my buddy Eric down in Orlando area, talked with him briefly yesterday, and you know, he's home alone because his wife and daughter are gone, and he's got 24 long boys, PBRs. He's got 12 cigars. His internet power's on. We talked for a little bit through the internet Facebook feed, but then the power would flicker and his internet would die off. He says it's kind of stabilized. Now, he does not have hot water, which, again, he's been in Iraq twice. He was Afghanistan twice. It's probably not a big deal to him. Still got his cigars. I did tell him, slow on the beers. It's only been 2 hours. The main hurricane hasn't hit you yet, and you've already downed 6 of them. But you should have had better planning and gotten 48. And he is mildly concerned because he said the last time a hurricane come rumbling through, they hung out at the Waffle House for a while. He said
Waffle houses are closed.
Yes, he said that's how bad it is down there. They closed the Waffle House. So I'll give him a buzz later. So, yeah, I've still got the geeking fever. Okay, I'll tell you something, but you can't tell anybody, okay? I've got a wedding.
Just the 4,000 listeners.
I know. And by the time they hear this, it'll be done. But there's a wedding going on, a family wedding, and I couldn't get it off work. I probably could have if I asked, but it was just one of those. I didn't ask. So I'm just going to call in sick and go to the wedding. It's in Menominee.
So I
might get to go by and say hi to Brian over at K&B Collectibles. And, of course, there's a comic store there. And, of course, my wife's already clucking her teeth and rolling her eyes. Why is everywhere we got to go you get a comic store? It's like, I don't know. Why is every wedding we go to you drink wine? I mean, come on. Speaking of wine, I do want to mention, and this one I do have ready. There's a place that opened up in the North Loop called Sip. Oh, dang it. I lost the picture again. It's, I think it's called Sip Lip. I'll have to find out what the name of it is for sure. But it's actually, there's a wine diva online that goes to some of the local talk shows. And I learned a lot. I don't drink a lot of wine, but my wife does. And so every time she does something, you know, she did a program like how to figure out what the best wine to drink with cheese is about, or which wines go best with candy corn, and, you know, just that type of fun stuff. But she's actually opened up a store, and I thought that was kind of neat that she's able to do that. And they had a little thing on one of the local talk shows that I like talking. She was trying to train the person how you properly enjoy wine. You know, you pour it, you let it aerate, sniff it. So this person just wanted to drink it. No qualms against wanting to learn about it all. All she was there is because she wanted to drink the wine.
Oh.
But while we listen to Corey's, what do we call this segment? Corey's Tales? Corey's Travels?
That's just what I've been up to.
Well,
it's not going to be a segment because I don't do it very often.
That's why we should make it a special deal. I mean, for a whole time, it'll be like, where is Joe now? Let's do that one. Where in the world is Corey Strode?
I am 2.5 miles outside of Fairview, Illinois, a town whose sign says it has 350 people. It's now down to 250. But it was fun to get here, but there were some problems. So I was going to leave Saturday morning. Get up, get my hair cut, head to the candy store, then get on the road. Well, the group home Friday afternoon asked if I could do an overnight shift. Well, I'm leaving first thing Saturday morning. And, you know, I really want to get on the road early. Well, you could be done by 7. Well, I got a lot to do before I go. We'll give you a bonus. They told me the bonus. They said, I still don't know. And they doubled the bonus and threw in a pie. So I did an overnight sleep shift at the group home before I left. And when I got back to Chaska, I hurriedly packed, cleaned out the car, got what I needed. I had laundry that needed to be done, so I actually had to wait at home for the laundry to dry. Because I was going to do all that Friday night, but I couldn't because I was at the group home. Now, Joe, going on in Shakopee every weekend in September?
Renaissance Festival.
This was the worst traffic I had ever seen in my life. It was backed up, not just into Chaska, but back and around through Chaska, then back up to Highway 212.
And you see, my thoughts are, while the Chaska backup, because your insistence on going to the candy store, which you could go to anytime, you should have just left up and around and hopped the Mississippi River Road. You know, just go north and then west. But no, you got to go get your candy.
Yeah,
I have candy with you.
Because I did not have an evening free the week before. So,
well, it's not like they're closed yet. You could have gone when you got back.
But then I wouldn't have snacks on the trip.
Yeah, as if there's no Walmart. I mean, you bought your cheapy headphones. You could have, you know, you got a gas station right next to you. I know that.
They don't have Rat Bastard root beer. They don't have banana lollipops. They don't have Zagnut bars.
Again.
They don't have any of the Japanese
stuff. Because of your insistence on going somewhere you could go to anytime you want until they close. And when do they close?
Thanksgiving weekend.
Yep.
I'll be going back on Thanksgiving. But I had to wait to get through Chaska. And then I took the back route all the way around so that I did not have to deal with the Renaissance Festival. And made it to the candy store. I got there around 10:30, and it was friggin' packed. Utterly packed. Wall-to-wall people.
And we all know how much you love crowds.
I was the only one wearing a mask, which doesn't surprise me anymore. And I did not do the slow, you know, looking at everything. It's no. I knew the kind of stuff I wanted, so I went there and there and there and there. and you know, hit the places that I knew had the stuff I wanted. I checked the root beer. They had Rat Bastard root beer, so I bought four of them. I will be going back. And they even said, yeah, whenever we get it, we have to put up a little sign because they sell so fast, but mm-hmm. it's so hard to get them now. And then finally, I was on my way. Now, in, let's see, Hastings, you know, because I went and it's okay, where are comic shops and used bookstores along my way? And the first one was Hastings. And there were all these rave reviews for a used bookstore called Dust Jacket Books. But I couldn't find any information other than the reviews. They didn't have a website. They didn't have any place on Facebook. They had an address. So when I got to Hastings, I put in the address and I went there. And there was a really nice pub there. But they were gone. Dust Jacket Books had gone away. But a block away from the pub was Level Up Games. You went to their store in St. Paul. I went to their store in Hastings. Really nice setup. Not Hastings. Yeah, Hastings. Really nice store. They have a coffee house. They have a little sandwich place. They have a place for everybody to play games. And you and I have been there before. The comic section in the back. Yeah, they've kind of given up on new comics.
Yeah, it's, even at the new Level Up Games, they had some interesting older ones. That's where I saw the One Punch Man Free Comic Book Day issue, which is insanely expensive because it's the first comic book appearance of One Punch Man in America. And like I said, I went through because a lot of times they have older stuff priced at a buck. Matter of fact, they had a whole run of Micronauts, except the key issues, at the St. Paul store, and I think I have them all. There may be some in the second series I'm missing. Again, I got to go through my stuff and figure out what's there. But yeah, it's a good place to go for cheap books. I don't think they're, you know, they do pre-order for comics because they do that previews square thing.
Yeah.
Where previews, you tell them what they want, they'll order it for you, which is a brilliant idea, but.
And then after.
Did you stop at Gamers Inc.?
I did not. Oh. I went to that, but then after
the reason why, Corey, you probably would have filled your car up with stuff because they have oodles of box. That's where I go and I go nuts because they have oodles of stuff for a buck. Their DVDs are cheap. Their video games are cheap. Seriously, that's the place you should have gone. So next time we get free, maybe on free comic book or not free Black Friday, we'll take a run down there because. Even now, you know, I like, do I go north to Remix or south to Gamers? Because they always got new stuff, and it's cheap, and it's ridiculous. It's, yeah.
Well, I went to a place called Bookstore of Hastings, because I went across the street and ate at this little Mexican place. And the thing is, you know, they have the touristy spots, but I noticed that the Mexican restaurant right across the street from Level Up, only Mexican people were going in. Which is always a sign of really good food. If the tourists aren't going in, but the local, you know, the local, if you want Thai food, you go to the place where the people from Thailand go. And, oh, it was amazingly good. So good. And I asked him about used bookstores. He said, well, there's one about three blocks that way. So I went to Bookstore of Hastings. Now, I don't know what this used to be, but what it is now is crammed with used books. There are books all the way to the ceiling. There are bookshelves across the ceiling. Back in this section are all the murder mysteries. And then over in this room are all the romances. And then over here are all the books about Watergate. I mean, they literally had a small little alcove, and it was just books about Watergate. It was crammed. utterly crammed. I found a bunch of pulp reprints from the 70s. So I loaded up on, now it's called Justice Incorporated, but when it was a pulp, it was called The Avenger. It was supposedly written by Kenneth Robeson, who was a house name that they used for Doc Savage. But really, Lester Dent just kind of created the character and then passed it on to other people. But this place was crammed wall to ceiling, all the way back, little alcoves, little extra rooms. It was like he'd taken over. This building had once been a bunch of offices, and he just was taking over each office and filling it with bookshelves. And the other thing was he had a bookstore cat, and the cat was the most trusting cat I've ever seen, because this cat did not know me. Meanwhile, after I scratched its head a couple of times, it rolled over on its belly, which is how cats go, okay, I trust you. Dude, you shouldn't trust me. You don't know me. I love cats, but come on.
Well, nah, they can tell. There's two things cats know, if they love cats or if you're allergic to cats, which is why cats always come over to me.
But really cool. It was one of those stores I could have stayed in all day. Just digging through, and there was an entire room of boxes of books he'd gotten in the last few months he hadn't gotten to yet. And he was talking to one of the customers about how the pandemic was fantastic for him, because you had all these people who would bring in boxes and boxes of books, and then people who would come in and load up with grocery bags of books because they were going to be home all the time. And he said the pandemic has reawakened people's love for reading, and his sales had not gone down. And that's kind of what we've shown when we look at book sales altogether. So then I'm back on the road, drove down to Winona, stopped at Jimmy Jam's. They did not have much in the way of comic bargains, but they are trying to blow out their DVDs. All their DVDs were a dollar. All their Blu-rays were $2.
I find interesting because I recall visiting them once, and I think it was mid-2000, and they had actually scaled back their comics, and they were just loaded with DVDs. Because I remember going into the back, and I was like, okay, they have a bunch of comic price in lock boxes. And of course, I haven't been really, I've got so many DVDs on, well, I haven't. So it's kind of interesting that they've kind of gone full circle and that they're still going strong.
Yeah. They've been around
for a long time.
Well, and now they've got games. And the one thing that I can point to at every comic shop I stopped at was they have a huge game section, and they have a place where people are playing games. Level Up, you know, had the coffee, you know, the coffee shop type thing, the sandwiches type thing, and the place where people could eat. But it was Saturday afternoon, so people were playing their D&D. And then at Jimmy Jam's, there were people in the back playing Magic. And I went over to the used bookstore that's right close to there, and they don't, it was very clear that they're not, I'm trying to find the best way to put this. They're moving toward, it needs to be used books from the last few years and newer books. So I'm not saying they're getting out of used books, but they're getting out of older used books. And it's the bookstore you and I went to, and they had, you know, some comic boxes that they were blowing out at a buck each. And I looked through, and it was mostly early 90s cheese. You know, I don't need any Young Blood Strike File or Dark Image. Oh my God, they had so much of that darker image issue. Then back on the road, and even though the leaves have not changed, this was a beautiful drive. Right along the river, I made sure that, oh, the road's going to be going away from the river on the Minneapolis side. I'm going to cross over to the Wisconsin side. And then when the Wisconsin side got away from the river, oh, I'm crossing over to the Minnesota side. And just took my time. But about 5:30, 6 o'clock, it got really dark because the clouds were moving in. Now, the night before, Friday, it was a rainy night. And you couldn't see a damn thing. When I got up Saturday, sun was shining. I was like, great, this is going to be beautiful sightseeing weather. And it was till about 5:30. 6 o'clock, it started raining. By 6:30, it was raining so hard. You know, you've got your windshield wipers on full blast, and you still can't see that far. So I was driving 30 miles an hour. No other cars on the road because I was the only idiot. And when I got to Prairie du Chien, that's when I said, okay, I'm down for the night. And one thing, I knew I was in Wisconsin because in Prairie du Chien, every restaurant that was open was part of a bar. And most of them were sports bars. And Wisconsin was playing football. So it's like, ugh, I do not want to deal with that crap. So me, being, you know, from a bigger city, I guess. Well, what can I get delivered through Grubhub? Nothing. No one delivered. How can I live amongst these savages?
Big city boy in a country world.
So I called up one of the restaurants and I placed a to-go order and I went in and I came back to the hotel. They had Turner Classic Movies. So I watched When Worlds Collide while eating my dinner and then laid down to read the comics and stuff that I bought. I bought some half-price hardcovers at Jimmy Jam's and some other comics that I'd picked up in the used bookstores. Next morning, you know, I didn't set my alarm clock, but I was up at about 7:30 because that's when I was used to getting up. Got on the road again. Made it to Dubuque, Iowa for a comic shop called Comic World and Games. Now, Joe, you know that comic shop up in Duluth that has comics on one side and games on the other and DVDs and...
That collector's connection, yeah.
This was as big. 3/4 of it were games. The other fourth were comics. They had a nice selection of new comics. They and Jimmy Jam's both had really good selections of new comics, but they had a table of half-price DC books. And it was a lot of the Silver Age omnibuses, a lot of the DC Rebirth trade paperbacks. So I gathered up a bunch of stuff, and I did my math in my head, and I said, well, this is about $100, you know, roundabout. So I bring it up to the counter. And they ring it up and they say $154. Now, I'm not going to argue, but I'm like, wow, I really did my math wrong. So I pay and I ask for the receipt and I get out to the car and I look at the receipt. It's not $154. It's $100.54. So the $154, he just was, yeah. So, fine.
I don't believe in decimal points. A liberal plot.
Back on the road, again, just beautiful driving. Took my time. By the way, while I was driving, I was listening to some of the Marvel podcasts. I listened to the entire Unbeatable Squirrel Girl radio show, which was 9 episodes. Really fun. Really fun and free. The regular Marvel podcasts I listened to. I've also downloaded the Wastelanders podcast, which always start out on Sirius XM, but then a month or so later, they're available free through Marvel Podcasts. So I didn't listen to a whole lot of my satellite radio. Of course, I didn't plan to listen to a whole lot of my satellite radio because I was planning on listening to these podcasts all the way down, and I'm glad I did. And then when I got to Clinton, Iowa, I looked and there was no comic shop and no used bookstore. Okay, but I got to go through Clinton, Iowa anyway because it's on the Minnesota, on the Great Mississippi River Road. As I'm driving through, I see the sign for a place called Unique and More. Well, and it says...
Kind of neaked up on you, huh?
Well, it says, used furniture, LPs, DVDs, books, toys. And then he had a sign on the sidewalk that said comics as well. So I did a quick U-turn and pulled in. This was the strangest little place I've ever been to. It looked very much like this had been like two or three shops. And the guy who owned it had kind of taken down the walls between all the shops. He had one that was just full of used furniture. He had another where I swear all the walls were Hot Wheels cars.
Ooh.
Just nothing but Hot Wheels cars. And he bragged about how he had more Hot Wheels than anybody in the area, including Walmart and Target. And he wasn't kidding. Tons of Hot Wheels. He had one room that was just rows of DVDs. And at one point, there was a guy in there talking to him about selling the shop. Because it was an older guy. And basically what he did, he had started this place when he retired, trying to sell off all his old stuff. And more stuff kept coming in for him to sell. And the guy said, well, you know, we'll work out a negotiated price. And the guy who owned it said, no, I know exactly what this place is worth. If you want my DVDs, they're $15,000 because I got 30,000 of them. And they're a dollar each. And you can buy the whole store for half price of what I'm selling stuff for. And the comics were in this back room. Now, by the way, there was a basement. And he said he was opening up the basement soon. And it was all used electronics. Like stereo systems and TVs. And he'd just kind of been gathering them up. And was going to be opening the basement for used electronics. Now, the comics, it was super clear that this was someone's old con stock. It was about 25 boxes. And Joe, I could actually tell when the person who had owned the comics before had quit buying comics. Because you could see, you know, Image books, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, no more. Valiant books. Boom, 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 boom. Up, cuts off there. Yeah, Marvel cuts off there. This, it cuts off there. It all cut off about 1994. And there were some weird little things here and there. But for the most part, it was Valiant, Image, X-Men, Batman. You know, all the stuff that was selling thousands and thousands and thousands of copies in the early 90s. That people have tons of. Oh, if you wanted a complete Return of Superman, you could have got 100 of them. But there were some cool things. There were some underground comics in there. There was some cracked magazines, the big specials. It was a fun little romp. And for me, it was more interesting to look at, oh, this was someone's old con stock that they quit going to conventions and finally just decided to dump it. Now, is it worth driving down and going through? No. But if you're in the area, the entire store is a lot of fun. I bet you could probably find every DVD ever made at some point. And there were some movies he had like 20 copies of. Like he had 20 copies of Pearl Harbor on DVD. You had 20 copies of each of the Harry Potter movies on DVD. And then I was going to stop at the comic shop in Galesburg, Illinois that I've talked about in the past, but they no longer exist. As I talked about last episode, they have been replaced by a weed store. And so I did not stop there. Basically, once I got past Clinton, Iowa, I was on the freeway and it's like, yeah, I just want to get to my parents' house. But it was a really fun drive. And while I've been here, I've just been reading and relaxing and doing the stuff that I probably should do on a vacation. And you know who else has been doing stuff that's not a vacation, Joe?
Probably my wife. She's still back to work.
No, it's these guys, our sponsors.
Our newest sponsor is NordVPN. Let's be honest, if you're out on the internet, you need a VPN to protect you. There's all sorts of things going on the internet where people can track you. You could accidentally download a keylogger, all sorts of things. NordVPN gives the best security possible. It has a password manager, which generates complex passwords, syncs across all your devices, stores your notes and credit card information. It also gives you 10 gigabytes of private cloud storage, secure files. It backs up your data automatically. But the main thing it gives you is peace of mind. It gives you peace of mind when you're out on the internet, when you're streaming, when you're playing games, when you're listening to podcasts like this one. It gives you safety anywhere at any time. It protects your online activity. You get full access to all content. And if you use the link go.nordvpn.net/SH3KU, it'll take you to where you can get a great deal for a 1 month plan, a 2 year plan, a 1 year plan. They are our newest sponsor. We're happy to have them. And if you would like to sponsor something here at any of the podcasts on the Solitaire Rose Network, you can. Just email me, solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. Thanks.
And they're not the only ones who are busy, because I'm always doing podcasts like all of these.
The Solitaire Rose Radio Network is currently on a pause, basically because COVID-19 has made it so that I have to work a lot of extra hours at both jobs. But you can still go and listen to my other podcasts. Now, you're probably listening to Crazy Comics and Stories, which is the main podcast. But on this same feed, KRAYZCOMIX, is Solitaire Rose Radio, the solo radio podcast that I do. I've done interviews, I've done short stories, I've done all sorts of things, and you can get to it right here on this same feed. I also do a podcast called Novelcast, where I take the novels I've written and turn them into free audiobooks. That's over at novels.solitairerose.com. Dangerous Dan Moore and I, and of course Wolfie B. Bad, give you bad advice over at badadvice.solitairerose.com. You send in your questions, and we give you the aforementioned bad advice. And then myself and Adam Vermillion from For the Love of Comics do the Fantastic Forecast at fantasticforecast.solitairerose.com, where we go through the issues of the Fantastic Four, four issues at a time, to give the plot and commentary on each issue. That's not all. Yes, I'm crazy. I still, over at PWInsiderElite.com, every week on Wednesday, do a recap of the latest episode of AEW Dynamite. I write up what happened, and then myself and Anthony Pyrus will do an audio. Now, you can only listen to the audio if you're a member at PWInsiderElite.com, and if you're a wrestling fan, you should be, where we then break down the episode, talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, give it a grade, and let you know if you should have watched that episode. Those are the other podcasts here at the Solitaire Rose Radio Network. Thanks.
And now, Joe, what other shows are going on that you could be going to?
Well, let me call up the quick file here. Dun, 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 dun. Chunk, 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 chunk. So let's see, where are we here? It's as 2 days ago, TomNaganStudio.com dropped his exclusive Unbreakable Red Sonja number one variant cover. He's limited to 500. He'll have regular signed and remarked options. So check it out. If he hasn't sold out, they'll still be there. Nerding Out 2 is right around the corner, October 7th through the 9th at the Mayo Civic Center. It's down in Rochester, Minnesota. Bigger, better than ever. Go to nerdingoutcomiccon.com or get tickets at Ticketmaster. Check their list online to see if there's anybody there you want to see. If you're going to Chicago, Transformer Con Chicago is October 21st, 23rd. Special guest Peter Culligan, the voice of Optimus Prime. Going to be at the Crown Plaza Chicago Hotel, and there's obviously going to be more actors and comic book artists there, so check out the website to find out more about it, tfcon.com. I mentioned it earlier, Halloween Bash 6, the Toy Posse's indoor comic show, 75 tables of toys and collectibles, free admission, October 30th at the Bloomington Event Center, 1114 American Boulevard in Bloomington, free admission, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., always a fun time to go. I'll be there earlier because I work that, so I'll try to get there as I can, go around, see what I can find. Twin Cities Con 2022 is November 11th through 13th at the Minneapolis Convention Center, downtown Minneapolis. Go to their website to find out more about it. It's a celebration of comic toys, TV, film, art, cosplay, games, all sorts of nerdy things. I'm going to check out later and talk about, see if there's anybody there I want to go see. I know Brandon Fraser had to cancel because he's working. And if you're marking down stuff for next year, damn fine, handsome man Greg Ketter is going to be at MiniCon in Minneapolis, April 7th through the 9th, 2023. It's the 56th MiniCon. If I'm reading it right, put on the Minnesota Science Fiction Society. So you go to www.mnstf.org/MiniCon56. And that's all I got.
Well, now it's time for Joe's segment that takes place of his eBay.
No,
retro reviews.
Woohoo!
Joe, what is your retro review this week?
I pulled out a comic called Cerebus Number Zero. And this was done because there were, how would you say, like travel issues or fill-in issues between the major books that, as far as I know, have not been included in any of the phone book size editions that you can buy that are still in print, and some of them actually being remastered. So in this one, Cerebus Zero, he publishes, let's see, Flight. Or wait a minute, that's the books. I'm trying to figure out what the issues are he did here. Cerebus 51 Exodus, which takes place between
High Society
and whatever came next.
Church and State.
And it's very funny because Cerebus is escaping, and pretty much every character that he's trying to avoid happens to jump on this barge with him. And one of the lovely things about Dave Sims' writing is you know the characters, you can almost hear them in your brain. Like there's a Rodney Dangerfield character, the rough. Rough home life. Listen, don't get me started on that. My mother-in-law at wedding. She wore a hood so no one could identify her later. There's Groucho Marx. There's Chico Marx. Moonroach. The next one, as I slowly flip through, there's no ads in this, so, but there's a lot of explanations. So when you get to the next one, which is a Cerebus 112-113, square one, talks about how Cerebus is returning to the scene of the crime, a small hotel he had commandeered as Pope during Church and State. Everyone's gone, his gold is confiscated. So it gives you kind of a setup. And this one is actually quite interesting because there's pretty much no words in it whatsoever. Just Cerebus wandering through, discovering the ends of a few people. There's Red Sophia's bikini bottom, I guess, for lack of anything else. And he hangs, and he, you know, the Lord knows what he's thinking. Probably, who did he, it wasn't Dave, talk to somebody else who told Cerebus you're going to die alone, unmourned, and unloved.
And oh, it was the judge on the moon.
The judge, that's who it was, yeah. So, that's pretty much that whole issue. And, of course, it was a double-sized issue. The second part, the next one was another double issue, Cerebus 137-138, that dealt with Juliet, which Adam is much younger. Kind of, yes, mass hilarity ensues. And so you got those three issues, which only published in this book, Cerebus Number Zero. And in the back you get, at the time, Melmoth only. That's how far up they were, and you can buy all the phone books and things like that. For me, Cerebus Number Zero has a couple interesting connotations, because when I first ordered this, they had what they called the Gold Edition, which you could get by ordering like X number of Cerebus. At the time I had, I don't know how many I had. When did this get published originally?
It was in the early 90s, like 93, 94.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the, 1993. So this was very early on in Hot Comics. So I probably had a good 300 subscribers, most of them being still Death of Superman people who would eventually fade away once Superman returned. As I decided to do a promo, because it was a big deal with Spawn number 10, because Cerebus was in it. And it occurred to me, well, I'm selling upwards of 125 Spawn a month. At the time, I'm only selling 5 Cerebus, and I always put one on the shelf just to have it there. Oftentimes, then, when I did Comic-Cons, I would load them all up, and I'd go to shows and just blow everything out at half price. One reason why I always kept the one there is, first of all, just to make sure it's there, but I also figured that one's paid for by the other 5 buying it. So by looking per title, you realize it was covered, and then when I blew them out at the sales, that was just extra gravy for me. So I made a promotion. I figured I'd give everybody a Cerebus 1. And
Cerebus 0.
0, right. Yeah, 1. Yeah, I wish.
I'm giving everybody a Cerebus.
Everybody have one. There's probably not enough around, but I'll make sure you get one. And I would have a contest. What you would do is you'd come in, and if you... I'm getting fuzzy on the details. We talk about it to like about 30 years ago. And it was some type of giveaway where if you bought this and this was your chance to try a Cerebus, and if you like it, put it on your list. And then I would give away a chance to win a Cerebus Gold. Those were like 1 in 50 or 1 in 100 or whatever. And going to Dave Sim, when I met him at one of Cap City's conference, and I told him about what I was trying to do, and he thought it was a pretty good idea. So it's just a chance to try to get more people to try Cerebus. I give him a Cerebus 0. Consequently, I think our sales for Cerebus went up by 2. So that means one person added it and another person added it. So now I was ordering 8 Cerebus a month. So for a single independent, that was actually quite good. And again, this was before the phone books, because I think...
The phone books started in the late 80s.
Yeah, so I still carry the phone books.
There was a huge fight with Diamond.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because Sim was only selling them directly through the mail for the first few years.
And Diamond, in their infinite wisdom, decided, well, if you're going to do that, we're not going to publish Puma Blues, which was a independent title being published through Aardvark. And this community went, why are you punishing that book when you should be publishing Cerebus? Well, because they sold a lot of Cerebus. They didn't sell many Puma Blues. And I think at that time he was also going through his divorce, because eventually most of these titles either drifted off to his ex-wife's title or just finished up and never were seen again. Puma Blues, by the way, I finally did read in... And he came out with the hardcover, I think, sometime earlier podcast. Heck, I'll give a Joe prize to whoever can figure out what podcast that was. That's a lot of podcasts ago. And anyways, the other thing that occurred was, I know they meant it to be nasty, but I thought it was actually pretty funny. Because I believe Jess, the creator of the Crazy Comics, of whose name I absconded with, drew a cartoon and faxed it over. Sitting in a shop where all the Hot Comics of the day were sold out, but I had tons of Cerebus Zero on the shelf. Because after I did everything I wanted to do, it was like the Cerebus Zeros left around. And again, it meant it kind of snarky, because I'm sure in the other Hot Comics brain, the idea that I was even selling Cerebus was, I don't know, physicists to them. You know, I didn't bother doing that. I don't know. That's what allowed Gruber and me to like double, if not triple, the sales from Hot Comics when we first bought it. There were tons of books that we knew we could sell that he did not. And 10 years later, I think I proved my point. That by selling it, then previous people drove it out of business. But so anyways, it's just a fun book. You should be able to find it. I don't think it's pricey other than the zero
gold.
And if I recall right, there's different covers on it. Like the one I got says, gosh, Cerebus, were you like way cool back in the olden days? And the Cerebus is opening. Why don't you buy a copy and find out for yourself, butthead? And I don't know if other cover. I know. I think there's different covers. I'll have to check it out. So that would be my, what would we call this segment? Deep cut? Random comic?
Retro reviews.
Ooh, I like that alliteration. Stanley would be proud. Retro reviews.
My retro review is a two-part series that I actually picked up at that Unique and More, and that is Justice Incorporated, issues 1 and 2. They were prestige format, you know, the square-bound books, written by Andy Helfer, drawn by Kyle Baker. And it, at the time, DC was publishing The Shadow, and it was doing well, so Condé Nast came to them and asked them if they would do Doc Savage, and they did a Doc Savage by Denny O'Neill that updated the character to the modern day. And because that did well as well, they said, well, can you do the Avenger? Well, they can't call it the Avenger because Marvel has the Avengers. So it's called Justice Incorporated, which was the name of the organization that the Avenger owned. So the origin of the Avenger is that his family, his wife and daughter are killed by mobsters in a plane accident. And in recovering, a doctor does an experimental thing on his face, and he can mold his face into anyone's face. That's his superpower. Now, what they've done with The Shadow, with Denny O'Neill, not Denny O'Neill, with Howard Chaykin, it updated him to the modern era and made changes, and everybody thought it was wonderful. And Andy Helfer did the same thing with The Shadow, and after 19 issues, they went, no, you can't do that. So the book he did with, it was basically Andy Helfer and Bill Sienkiewicz got canceled. What he did with Justice Incorporated was the same thing. He takes the character and reworks the origin so that from the character's point of view, it's the same thing. However, we find out as the story goes on that that's not the true story. And after World War II, his Justice Incorporated team is, they're not as successful. They're not fighting big crime anymore. They're handling the kind of stuff that detective agencies do. Cheating spouses, embezzlement, et cetera, et cetera. The government comes to them and says, hey, how would you like to make a real difference? How would you like to save the world from communism? But the problem is, they work for the government, but they find out that what they're doing isn't exactly on the up and up. The story goes in directions that when we read it now, because that sort of thing has been done for the last 30 years, you kind of go, oh, okay, it's still a good story, but it doesn't have that shock of, oh my gosh, that it had back then. Kyle Baker, his art is very much in the style he used during the time on Why I Hate Saturn and the Cowboy Wally story, which is an 8-panel grid. Characters are, it's a painted book, so the characters are a little indistinct, but it's carried by the dialogue. It also has the post-Watchmen trope of there are no narrative captions. You have to pay attention to the story to know when you move from one scene to the other. But I, as I read it, I liked it a lot more than when I read it at the time. Because when I read it at the time, it felt a little experimental and a little hard to follow. But now, because comics use those tropes all the time, it flowed really well and was a real easy read. Andy Helfer was very innovative in how he took this pretty one-note property and turned it into both a crime story, a politics story, and a character study, showing a character showing all of these characters changing because of the things they had done through the story. It was just really well done. When you find it in your back issue bins, it's not expensive. You could probably get it at cover price. It was $3.95 when it came out for each issue. I was able to get it for $1 each. So if you're looking through your back issue bins and your bargain bins, because it's not going to be in your main bin, because nobody remembers it.
No one remembers it.
It was edited by Mike Carlin, of all people. But when you find it in the bargain bin, snap that baby up, because it is a great read. You're never going to see it reprinted, ever.
Give him that title one more time.
It is Justice Incorporated. There have been other Justice Incorporated stories when DC did their, I think it was called First Wave, when they got the Shadow and the Spirit and Doc Savage and did that in the early 2010s. And then Dynamite did it. This is very different from all of those and well worth your reading. And now it's time for my favorite part of the show. No, not where I go to the grocery store and buy 20 bags of kitchen cooked potato chips because they don't have them in Minnesota. No, it's Freaking Geeky Joe. What are you freaking on?
Not really freaking out much this week. Kind of going off the Comic-Con glow. Just like I said, I'll probably do a little geeking after we leave. And who knows, maybe if we get our previews next week, we'll do our previews episode. Or not. I don't know if Diamond cares.
I don't know if DCB Service cares either, because my box is coming with previews in it, but no Marvel previews and no DC. Yeah.
Which is odd, because as I was geeking around, I didn't find any previews, but I did find the Marvel and DC supplements for October. So
yeah, we'll maybe figure. I'll stop at a shop on the way back and grab those.
Yeah. Anyways, that's it for me. What about you, Corey? After last week's freak, I wonder what you got left for this week.
Well, during the drive, when I got to that rainstorm, I had not driven in a really bad rainstorm in a long, long time. And here I am driving on a two-lane highway, no lights anywhere. My headlights are only going like about a couple yards in front of me. The windshield wipers are doing no good, and I'm just white knuckling it. And I couldn't pull off to wait, because you're right on the Mississippi River, so there's no shoulder. You have to be careful, because, oh, I could go on the shoulder. Oh, there's no shoulder. I'll go right in the river. So I just had to keep going. The good thing was that, you know, it only lasted about a half hour. The bad thing was it lasted a half hour, and I'm not used to that crap. It did kind of make me a little weirded out that every comic shop that I stopped at outside the Twin Cities was mostly a game store. And you and I have talked for a long time about how shops need to diversify. But even Comic World, 75% a game store. So comic sales are doing really well. Now, we have the numbers, but more and more, I think that the monthly comic ends with us. I think that once our generation quits buying the monthly comic, it's just going to be books. I think the publishers are getting ready for that, but I think there are certain fans who will never be ready for that. Joe, what are you geeking on?
That reminds me, two of the things I sold at the con, I had two pulps from, I think one from 38 and one from, I think it was early 50s, which kind of surprised me because I didn't think pulps hung around. But like you said, there was always somebody still buying them. I had actually had these pulps because as my kids were growing up, I would sometimes go to their class and give a story on comic books. You know, talk about here's how they started, blah, blah, blah. And I had some, I think a very early comic where it was what comic books were originally, just reprints. And then, of course, leading up to more fun and action and, you know, the rest. A couple quick notes from earlier in the show. The name of the wine club that's set up on the North Loop is sipbetter.com. And Leslie Miller is what they call a sommelier, which is apparently my daughter's doing that. where she's going to class to learn. They know more about wine than you do. Kind of like Corey and I are comic book here.
We're comic sommeliers.
There we go. I like that. And the other Cerebus Zero, I mentioned the gold one. They didn't have different things. The regular comic had one thing. The other one had the guy going, gosh, Cerebus, will this comic be worth a lot of money? And then Cerebus is going, not after I bend this corner, you greedy capitalist weenie. So that was my remembery. Speaking of the eBays, did a little geeking on eBay. Picked up Star Trek, the Classic Episodes Volume 1, which is the... They used to be log ones, all done by... Oh, man, that is a boy. I was going to say, I can't remember who did it, but they basically did adaptations of the original episodes off of the original scripts, which is kind of fun to read because occasionally you would find things that didn't make it to the TV show. And they did a 25th anniversary, and I can't see if I can find out who did it. James Blish, I think, if I'm yes. getting that right. Yeah, he's the one who did all the adaptations. And so they took them all in 1991 and did three volumes with all of them. And while you can go to used bookstores and generally find them, I just figured, well, I'd been to Mr. Zero's a while back and found two and three. And then I found this one online and picked it up. Travis, one of our listeners, pointed out that I may have overlooked a Savage Dragon appearance in Giant Size Mini Comics number 4, published by Eclipse Comics. Well, I didn't overlook it anymore, so thank you, Travis. I went to the eBays and bought the few copies. Probably had like maybe two copies. I picked one up. And lest you think I'm done buying comics, I picked up a Peter Parker Spectacular Spider-Man number 1 movie edition with Tom Holland on it. And all I gotta do is find Tom and have him autograph it. Speaking of comics I read, I did finish X-Men, The Uncanny X-Men Omnibus number 3. A lot of fun. It went as far as I flipped this gigantic book over. Let's see. Uncanny X-Men 175, which was the finale of the alleged return of Phoenix. There were a couple of annuals in there, including the first one where Impossible Man just created trouble. And I believe this was the first of, what, 2 or 3 appearances. It had Marvel graphic novel, God Loves, Man Kills. Wow, was that a heavy graphic novel.
And in a lot of ways, that was what changed the X-Men from, you know, a superhero team that every so often people didn't like mutants to...
Oh, everyone mutants. Hates.
Yeah. Everybody and hates mutants.
To me,
and it's funny how so many people have forgotten that graphic novel was such a huge shift to the point where comic creators are having to remind people.
Yeah.
Maybe Aeneas Asia had a really nice write up on how that kind of changed everything at the Marvel offices as well. One of the few Marvel graphic novels that actually made a big difference. There was Death of Captain Marvel, New Mutants. The first issue was the Marvel graphic novel. And then Marvel graphic novel number 5, which was God Loves, Man Kills. Does Joe know who was supposed to draw that originally?
I can't even remember who drew it, and I just finished reading it.
Brent Anderson drew it. Brent Anderson from Astro City drew it. But who was supposed to draw it originally?
I don't know. John Byrne?
Nope. Neil Dave Adams.
Who?
Neil Adams. Shockingly, he couldn't meet the deadline.
I'm shocked. What always drives me crazy about the whole mutant storyline, and a few astute writers talk about it, is like, why after all these years of superheroes are mutants the bad guys? And how do you tell the difference between a mutant and a non-mutant? And then, of course, you have the whole cloud of inhuman gas that spread across the globe. And it's like, to me, the whole mutant thing rang false. Up until Hickman's storyline, now you actually have a reason. You're like, how come you guys get an island and I don't? But because you got the entire rest of the world. You Yeah, whatever.
When it was done right, it was more, oh my God, my children might be a mutant. These mutants are replacing human beings. Roy Thomas always had the best line about it. What did the last Neanderthal say to the first Cro-Magnon? That's how he framed it.
Yeah, which is when
Claremont paid attention, he framed it that way. But a lot of other writers were just very, very lazy about it.
Basically, that was kind of inaccurate because when they discovered what happened to the Neanderthals, they interbred.
Yeah.
That's how they disappeared. They wasn't in great fight. And what I'd like to have seen once anywhere in the Marvel Comics is, oh, wow, I wonder what kind of cool powers you'll get. Because some people actually like Fantastic Four, Avengers, Iron Man.
That was in the Grant Morrison where he in his pitch, he talked about how our pop culture is driven by our ethnic minorities. So why aren't the mutants driving the pop culture?
Yeah, exactly.
Where the older people and the prejudiced people don't like them, but the younger people really like their pop culture stuff.
And that's a run I'm going to reread. But I think my next batch of Omnibus is going to pull out the probably the New Mutants, since this story, these issues cover what happened, the X-Men were on outer space fighting the Brood when Xavier made the New Mutants. It's got Paul Smith's run. It also covers the Wolverine miniseries that Frank Miller and Chris Claremont did, which was amazing. The underrated Magic, which is the true origin of, I can't even think of her name.
Iliana,
that's it. And that one I didn't like as much because it was just a downer of a series. And Belasco is just one of those villains I just want to see his head popped. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, no matter what, he can defeat him and blah, 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 and Limbo, whatever. Just, but it tied in because that kind of brought forward the way the character is nowadays. Unless you think I spent all my time reading omnibuses, and in case you ask, yes, I do bring them to work, and no, they don't return unscathed. A little scraped up, but I don't even care anymore. Read Predator number 1 from Marvel. Interesting.
I liked it.
It was good. I get it 6 issues, and then I'll probably switch to graphic novels. I did pick up X-Men Legends number 1, I think because I picked up the Dan Jurgens cover. But after reading it, I did pick up issue number 2, and it's somewhere in my pile of stuff. Of course, as soon as I brought it home, I lost it. I did read Amazing Fantasy 1000, which was a lot of fun. Different creators with different takes on it. The one that surprised the heck out of me is when I saw Neil Gaiman's name in there. And not that he's writing a Spider-Man story, but more he's writing his take of being in England, because Spider-Man was in POW, not Amazing Spider-Man, you know, in black and white reprints. And he also talks about how him and his friends seem to, as I read it, kind of barge in on a Steve Ditko who wasn't receptive but wasn't rude, and he escaped with a signed comic book, which was kind of cool. And let's see some of the other people in this one. Dan Slott, Michael Cho, Oliver Coppel, Ochi Anderson, Kurt Busiek, Jonathan Hickman. It's a fun issue. You know, I'm generally against expensive ones, but this was actually a pretty cool one, and all the stories were just covered well. Let's see. I got this, and I can't remember what it was. It's hiding in between two cardboard. Oh, I got myself a Books of Magic signed by the entire creative team. This is the issue number 1 of the DC Vertigo series. So let's see, we got Peter Gross, Greenier, and Amaro, and they all signed. It did come with a certificate of authenticity, but I thought it was kind of cool just to get all their signatures. And I pulled out my Detective number 27 reprint, where you all panicked, gosh, and I was amazed. I mean, for how much did this sucker cost originally? A dime?
Yeah.
Even for $6.99 in today's price, there was a lot of damn reading in this. And surprisingly, Batman was very little of it, only about 6 pages of it. But you go in and there's, you know, little comic strips. And then you get Speed Saunders, Ace Investigator. He's got a little series. And then Buck Marshall, Range Detective, which was in kind of a reddish color hue. And then you got Spy by Jerry Siegel and Joel Shuster. I wonder whatever those guys did. Probably nothing. The Crimson Avenger, which I believe is considered the first masked hero. And you get, of course, the obligatory story in the middle, Death on the Airwaves. A lot of the ads are printed. You get the mysterious Dr. Fu Manchu with all the racial stereotypes you would expect. But there's just a lot of reading in this for just that money. I mean, again, I'm jaded with today's strips. Just amazing how these guys could do a fantastic story in just six pages. And if you excuse me a second, a couple things on TV I've watched. My wife and I watched the first episode of the Dahmer Monster Within miniseries that seems to be taking the interwebs by storm. Very intense. We've only watched one because I told my wife I will not watch it after 9 o'clock because I'll be up all night thinking about it. Kind of like I had problems with Walking Dead. It was just very intense. Not, well, if you know the crime, great. If you've never heard about it, well, look at the show or Wikipedia. It's all there. It's just a horrific crime. I did catch a show on Facebook under Wonder that had to deal with Pan America Flight 103. That was the one that was blown up by a radio bomb left in luggage by some Libyan terrorists. One of the reasons why I do the job I do with TSA. All I'm going to say about that, if you all care, it's just one of those shows that's on. It's about 50 minutes dealing with different types of disasters. That one caught my eye on the YouTube last night, so I read it. Finally, the other thing I'm geeking on is that all my friends so far, knock on wood, down in Florida doing fine. My friend Alex in the Keys, Marathon Key, was really worried because originally they thought this Ian hurricane was going to blast right into the Keys, and they're at best 5 feet above sea level, and they're like 18-foot storm wave or whatever, storm surge. He's got a fishing boat business down there, so if you're going down the Keys, you want to rent a boat for a three-hour tour or you can go fishing. Let me know, and I'll hook you up with him because he probably won't give you anything because you know me. But, you know, eventually I'm going down there to do it. Maybe he'll give me a little discount. Our good buddy Turbo in Orlando seems to be doing okay. He texted me while we were potting and checked in. I do have relatives up in Jacksonville where it's raining heavy. Haven't heard anything yet, but we just got to wait. And again, all our friends up on the Carolinas. And just take care of yourself when it's coming. This is just a nasty, nasty storm, even though the strength is dropping. What is surprising people, and they shouldn't, because we've had hurricanes before, is when little tornadoes swirl up in the outer bands. Because this whole storm spinning might be just a Midwest thing, because we like our weather detailed. But boy, when we get spin in the atmosphere, we know they're talking. Could be a quick tornado. Remember over the summer, people were complaining about, oh, there was no tornado siren. Well, yeah, you got hit by an E1 tornado. They can't be picked up by radar because they're covered in rain usually. And they're quick. They might even only last 30 seconds to 5 minutes. But when you get a thunderstorm, you know, how does Ian Leonard on Fox 9 say, stay sky aware. You know, it's up to you to protect yourself. And I was even talking with Turbo. I said, aren't you worried? He goes, no, I've ridden them out before. Generally, central Florida, the only thing we got to worry about is rain. Just be prepared for weather. I said, well, did you fill your bathtub so you can flush your toilet? Yeah, I got all that. I said, well, just drink your beer slower and smoke slower so you don't run out. I did see a picture in daylight. I think nighttime would be the most terrifying time of a hurricane, especially with sustained winds going on. You can't see anything. But as soon as daylight's up and the rain gives up, he's like, yeah, power's out. But he's got power, I should say. There's power outs in other places. Everything's still closed. But he's got beer. He's got cigar. He's got the essentials of life. Okay. Plus, he can check out the Andor on Star Wars. Are you being summoned?
No. Just checked on.
Yeah. Corey, you're in your room. Come on. Say hi to your relatives. That's not right. Okay, Corey, what are you geeking on?
Well, first off, I am geeking on the fact that I had 2 days for the drive. You know, I've been an essential worker for 2.5 years now, and it's pretty rare that I've been able to say, I am just going away, and you can't contact me for a week. So that's been really nice. And the drive itself is beautiful. You've been on the Mississippi River Road. If you ever have a chance, take the drive, take your time. Make sure that you're paying attention, though, because, boy, those small towns, they really want to get you off track so that you wander off into their shops and never return. This time I was able to program in the GPS, okay, I am in this town. I'm going to this town. Oh, do you want to go this way? No, I'm using this road. I would have to drag it away from the freeways every so often because, boy, your app does not have a scenic thing on it. It has a, do you want to get there fast or do you want to get there without traffic? Or do you want to avoid, what are they? Ferries. That's the thing that got me. Do you want to avoid ferries? There aren't going to be any ferries in the middle of Wisconsin, okay? So unless you're going to...
I know I did a few when I was in Missouri area where you could decide, do you want to take a ferry? And we did because we've never taken one.
Yeah.
We're like, hey, this is kind of fun.
But the trip itself was great. Going to the used bookstores was so much fun. They all have their own personality. And I think that's the most interesting thing about it, because now pretty much every city's bookstore, some have indie bookstores, but for the most part, it's Barnes & Noble. And Barnes & Noble in Eden Prairie looks the same as Barnes & Noble in Dubuque, Iowa, looks the same as the Barnes & Noble in Las Vegas, Nevada, looks the same as the Barnes & Noble in Saskatchewan. They're all the same. But you go to a used bookstore, and it's the personality of the people who run it. Like the one that I went to, that was just jam-packed books all the way to the ceiling. It was an older guy who just, he didn't feel it needed to be in alphabetical order. Just those are the murder mysteries. Those are the cozy mysteries. Those are the action, you know. He just saw it as categories. Or the used bookstore in Winona, that we're moving into the high-end books, either the new books or collectible books. Or, yeah, the guy in Clinton who was just, yeah, they're back there. And it's the personality that makes each store fun. Reading-wise, I've just been reading like a monster. I read Death and the Maiden, which was a Batman graphic novel by Greg Rucka and Klaus Janson that is supposedly the last Ra's al Ghul story. Spoiler, he got better. But the introduction talks about how they wanted Klaus Janson to do a special story, so they teamed him up with Greg Rucka. And Klaus Janson, who most people know as an inker, but really, toward the end of the Miller Daredevil run, he did the penciling as well. Or on Dark Knight, he did a lot of the finishes on that. Miller wrote the story and did rough layouts, and Klaus Janson's the one who did the inking and such. And they were using this new... Everybody forgets how Dark Knight was a new printing technique. They'd never had a printing press that good for comics. It was a new format. And I even remember reading about how when they went to print it, everybody involved flew to Sparta so they could see it coming off the press. And Klaus Janson was a part of that, but because he kept, you know, he was kind of a workhorse inker, he didn't become Klaus Janson the way Frank Miller became Frank Miller. Also, I've been reading some novels. I read one of those Justice Incorporated novels that I picked up because it's quick read. They're fun, pulpy adventures. You can tell it's not by one of the top tier pulp guys like a Lester Dent, but like a lot of pulp stuff, it follows the formula of a criminal does something that the hero can't figure out, and as and it seems supernatural, but as the hero figures it out and, you know, goes after the henchman, he learns how it's done and is able to stop the bad guy. And they did tons and tons and tons and tons of these stories. The pulps were basically like TV series before there were TV series. And when you read a pulp novel, you have to remember that, that one, these were like TV series. Here's your hero. We've got a formula. It's going to follow the formula. And if you like the formula, you'll like the story. If you don't like the formula, you're not going to like it. Also read a Star Trek, one of the Typhon Pack novels about the Gorn. And Joe, I have to admit something. I'm a Star Trek fan. I find the Gorn annoying. But the novel was written well enough that I did not hate the Gorn as a story point.
Good job of bringing in the different types of Gorn, because the animated series is different, and I'm sure they were different when we saw. I don't know if we saw them in Enterprise or Discovery. Discovery, I thought they were the bad guy. There were also some of the novels. So, yeah, sometimes the novels do a better job.
But I find the Gorn to be, even though they have their caste system, they're still, they hate the Federation because they hate the Federation because they hate the Federation. It doesn't seem to be more than a one-dimensional thing. So the story at work, but I'm still not going to be going out of my way to read another Gorn story. And I have 4 more days of vacation. I will be driving back on Saturday. I'll get back Saturday night, and it looks like Saturday is box day. So I will get home to a big old box of comics sitting on my deck. And then Sunday I have the day off to unpack and unwind and get ready to go back into the pressure cooker again. Believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about funny books for an hour and a half.
Don't you have anything better to do? I mean, thank you. Thank you.
And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
I'm vaguely jealous because I really could use a good road trip myself. I've always wanted to travel to Finland, but I'm afraid I might disappear into Finn air. I was gonna say I used to be addicted to time travel, but that's all in the past now. But what isn't? Hit my music.
Done, bitches!